Before I get started, though, I did want to share one thing that Philip just shared with me. I don't know. I know you guys are all familiar with Pastor Saeed Abedini. You've heard of Pastor Saeed? He's a Calvary Chapel pastor that's in prison in Iran. He's from Calvary Chapel in Idaho. I forget which one exactly. Anyway, he's got a letter out. And he heard about how people were praying for him and lifting up things for him at Christmas time. And he talked about how they're going to let him out on bail on one day, and the next day they're going to hang him for Jesus. So when we go through our life and we think that we're going through trials and tribulations, may we remember people like Saeed, like Paul. The Word says to imitate those who imitate Christ. Here's a man imitating Christ, prepared to die for his faith. And the Word said, blessed are the persecuted, for they will inherit the kingdom. May we pray we finish strong. Because your faith isn't tested until that last day. That's when it's truly tested. The rest of the time is all practice. Amen. So may we finish strong in the author and finisher of our faith. All right, well, tonight's message, let me go ahead and pray after I give the title. It's Silver and Gold I Do Not Have, but What I Do Have, I Give You. We're going to be in Acts chapter 3. We're going to start at verse 1, and we're going to go all the way through it prayerfully as the Lord would allow us to do. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, may our focus not be on the riches of this world, but on the riches of Christ. God's riches at Christ's expense, grace given to us, purchased entirely at Christ's expense. This is what gives us peace. And may we have the joy of the Lord. Jesus first, others second, and yourself or myself last. May we just remember these things. May our eyes always be focused on what we can give. Not on what we have materially, but what you've given us in Jesus Christ. You've given us the way, the truth, and the life. And Father, you're preparing us to spend eternity with you. And you're preparing us to be that bride that will bring glory to Jesus Christ as his church. Father, I pray that as we read your word tonight, that it will be delivered in the power of your Spirit, and every heart here will be prepared by the Spirit of truth to receive it, and not just to receive it, but to be doers of your word. As we look at the gospel message given to the Jews first, and then to the Gentiles. And Father, we also lift tonight up as a time of communion. A time of remembering all that Jesus has done and is doing in our lives. We thank you for the finished work at the cross. We thank you for the reconciliation being completed. But Father, we also thank you that salvation is not done in our lives yet, as you continue to work in us, as you continue to grow us and mature us in Christ, and as you continue to get us over ourselves and growing in Jesus and walking in Christ. So may that be our heart tonight as we lift this up to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right. Well, last week, just to bring us up to speed as we finished chapter 2, we saw over 3,000 people were saved and baptized on the day of Pentecost as the Holy Spirit had come upon them and they were speaking in tongues and Peter shared the gospel. And we've seen that 3,000, as I said, confessed Christ as their Lord and Savior. And then all of them were continuing steadfastly in the four pillars that we looked at last week that are vital to any church, any Christian or God-fearing church. And those pillars are the teaching of the apostles or the Word, fellowship. And our fellowship with Him is fellowship with each other. That's what 1 John says. Communion. Communing with Him, not just here by taking the bread and the wine, or grape juice in our case, But communing with the Lord, our spirit communing with His on a continual basis. And prayer. Prayer that completes His cycle, where He puts it in our heart what to pray for, we ask for it, He gives it to us, and all the resources that are needed. Spiritual, the mind of Christ, as well as physical resources to get it done. So those are the four pillars that we pray that this church has been founded on, which we know and will continue to preach and teach and to live by. We also saw that as the church grows spiritually healthy, that healthy sheep multiply. And it's not just multiplying by what they do here in this church, but multiplying because they are sharing Jesus Christ in their homes. It's not about what you do here in church that's important. It's what you learn here and take with you as a changed life that makes it worthwhile. Jesus says, don't be just hearers of my word, but be doers. That's what our life is about. He said there will be many who hear and don't do. There'll be many who will desire to enter in and won't. He says to strive, to agonize a mind, to agonize, to come in by the narrow gate, which is Jesus Christ. That gate by which we live in the whole time we're here on earth. Tonight, we continue the Acts of the Apostles or the Acts of the Holy Spirit, and it continues in our life as this is really Acts chapter 29. That we're living in, or whatever chapter it may be in God's book of remembrance. Tonight we're going to look at how Peter says, silver and gold I do not have, but what I do have I give you. And may that be the hymn of our lives. That new song that God plants in our heart. That as people come to us and seek things that we have, that we give them what's important. Give them the love of Christ and share the good news. Yes, if they need physical provisions, as the Lord would lead, give them. But may at the same time you share the good news of Jesus Christ in the love of Christ, because that's what people need. That's what this dark and dying world needs. That's what we need to be remembered or to remember each and every day. And you know, there's no better way to stay in the gospel than to share it. And may our lives be what shares it. Not just the words of our mouth, but how we live. And you know, there's no less of a miracle took place than what we're going to see here on the Word tonight. No less of a miracle took place when we accepted Jesus. And no less of a miracle takes place when we share the good news of Jesus and see other people's lives changed. Amen. Let's go ahead and read Acts 3. 1 through 10, and then I'll do sections of it as we go on and finish chapter 3 tonight, prayerfully. Acts 3, 1 through 10. Now Peter and John went up together to the temple at the hour of prayer, the ninth hour. And a certain man, lame from his mother's womb, was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms from those who entered the temple. Who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked for alms. And fixing his eyes on him with John, Peter said, look at us. So he gave them his attention, expecting to receive something from them. Then Peter said, silver and gold I do not have, but what I do have I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And he took him by the right hand, and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle and bones received strength. So he, leaping up, stood and walked and entered the temple with them, walking, leaping, and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God. Then they knew that it was he who sat begging alms at the beautiful gate of the temple. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened to him. So here is an overview of what we're going to cover tonight. Is here we see Peter heals a man, so to speak, who has been crippled his whole life and was carried around, most likely on a pallet. But when Christ made him whole, yes, Peter healed him, but it was the power of the name of Jesus, and as led by the Holy Spirit in the gifting of healing given to Peter, that he was healed. So when Christ made him whole, he walked and leaped for joy and praised God for this miracle he had received. And as I said, no less a miracle happened to us when we were crippled by the bondage of sin. And by the grace of God, in some form or fashion, we were carried on a pallet or a stretcher, most likely into a church somewhere or into somebody's fellowship or into somebody's good graces, and heard the good news of Jesus Christ. And we were made whole. We were healed. We heard the good news of Jesus, that He died for our sins. And by His stripes we are healed. And He raised from the dead on the third day. We too are raised from the dead already. We don't have to wait for eternal life. We have it right now. May we live that life, the resurrected life. So we were made whole by hearing this truth and accepting it. Oh, what a true miracle our redemption in Christ is. And it goes on. Our salvation is an ongoing process. And we'll see in the rest of this chapter 3 that now Peter's going to offer it to all the Jews. All the Jews who would hear him that day, as the gospel was intended, first to the Jews and then to us Gentiles. So our application for this message tonight is, as we prepare to celebrate Thanksgiving as a nation and as a family, may we give thanks to God for what He has done in Jesus Christ at the cross. And remember what He has done as we partake of the bread and partake of the juice, and give Him glory by surrendering all to Him. Surrendering and dining with Him, and taking time to spiritually wash our hands before we do so, to lift anything that is not of Him up in repentance, so that we don't partake in an unworthy manner. But may our heart be set for that by reading the Word tonight and hearing what He has for us in this message. But also, before we leave tonight, may we ask God to fill us overflowing with His melody for our lives. Silver and gold I do not have, but what I have I give you. May we share that with our family members who are not saved. May we share that with our unsaved neighbors. May we share that with workers and people who were around, as God would lead. May that be the song or the melody of our life. And may it ring out as the symphony of God Himself all throughout Dothan. And so we lift that up to you. I lift that up to you tonight. That's my prayer for us tonight. That we walk out of here changed, filled with the Spirit, ready to share more than just ourselves, but to share that greatest treasure of all, Jesus Christ. Amen. All right, so let's go ahead and do our verse by verse on the first 10 verses. Verses 1 through 10, a broken man is healed. It's a picture of the greatest gift of all. So now in verse 1, we see Peter and John went up to the temple at the hour of the second prayer. That's the ninth hour. Peter and John, filled with the Spirit. How do we know they're filled with the Spirit? Because it says that the Holy Spirit's indwelt in them, as we've read in other chapters, and He's about to share the good news of Jesus Christ, and that's done only in the overflow of the Holy Spirit. They now worshiped in the temple, the house of God, as it was truly intended to be worshiped, in spirit and in truth, not giving the sacrifice of bullocks and lambs, but as the Lamb of God gave Himself, that we become those living sacrifices and bow our will to His and come to Him in supplication and ask Him for what we need first, more of Him, more change in our lives, being changed more and more each day, and then praying for others that we know need it to have more of Him in their lives. And for those who don't know Him, to bind Satan in their lives, to take away the blindness, to take away that blindness and bind Satan. So the temple was being used for the first time as it was intended, giving praise and adoration and prayer and supplication to God the Father. Jesus had cleansed the temple twice, and now it was being used as it should have been. Now, the saints, the apostles and the believers at that time would go to the temple twice a day. Now, you think it's hard getting here on Sundays and Wednesday. How about going twice a day? Right? And what would happen is that they had daily sacrifices twice a day. 9 o'clock in the morning, which is the third hour, and 3 o'clock in the afternoon, which is the ninth hour. Now, the saints wouldn't go during the time of the sacrifice because they needed no other sacrifice. They had Christ as their sacrifice, but they would go after the sacrifice, the time of prayer. And they would go and they'd pray and they'd share with each other and they'd share the word and hear the teaching of the apostles. And they'd grow together in one accord in Christ and with each other. Verse 2, and a certain man, lame from birth, was carried there. And again, typically this is done on a pallet or a stretcher, as we've seen, I believe it was in Matthew chapter, actually was it Matthew chapter 4? Where they lowered Mark chapter 4, where they lowered the cripple or the disabled person down through the roof on a pallet. Because those were typically what they used for the wheelchairs of the day to get crippled. People who were totally disabled around, would they'd carry them on these pallets, these straw mattresses, if you will. And the reason I say it was a pallet, because they says it laid him down. They laid him down in front of the temple daily. And they laid him down there for a purpose, so that he could beg for money. That's how the person survived. And you know, as the thought crossed my mind is, you probably wouldn't get many takers as you go into church. You know, it's like everybody's in a hurry or into the temple. But oh, if their hearts were softened and changed, how much more loving they would be afterwards, right? So maybe his greatest intake wasn't on the upcoming, but was on the leaving, right? And, so just a thought that crossed my mind. And I pray that's what happens in this church. That maybe when we come in, our hearts ain't that soft. You know, we just got through arguing with the wife about how the kids are dressed, or how come, you know, you took so long brushing your teeth, or the car's all messed up, the kids are fighting in the back seat, and we come into church. But when we leave here, may we have that heart of charity. What is charity but agape, God's love? So, they laid him at the front gate to the temple daily. And this is as close as the cripple could go. The disabled, that's as close as they could go, because by tradition, not by the law, but by how they had perverted the law, they had made a cripple an unclean person, and therefore he couldn't get any closer than the temple gates. And this gate was called Beautiful. That's the east gate. Not the beautiful gate that's inside, because he's a cripple, he couldn't get in there, so it'd have to be the east gate. And so they'd lay him there in front of the gate, and that's as close as he could get to God's house. As he laid out there on his mat, just waiting for somebody to care about him, so that he could ask for charity of the people coming in. In verses 3 through 5 now, this person, this lame person, seeing Peter and John passing by as they were about to enter the temple, asked them for alms, or asked him for money. Then Peter, with John, looked at him intently and said, "Look at us." And he looked at him. He had their full attention. I should say, Peter and John had his full attention. He thought he was going to get a gift. Thought he was going to receive money. So in verse 6, it says, Peter said, "Silver and gold I do not have, but what I have I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up, as it says in verse 7, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. So, leaping up, he stood up and walked into the temple with them, in verse 8. Walking and leaping and praising God. Now, two marvelous things here we see. At least two marvelous things happen. Now, it doesn't say whether or not he was ever saved, so to speak, or received salvation. as God was using this as a demonstration of power. But I would testify that by the end of the day, he would be saved. He was praising God already for his healing. But I don't want to read anything into that. So I'll say there's two things that are obvious that happened that he was never able to do before. By the power of God. First thing he did was he walked. And what's equally amazing to me is nobody had to teach him. He never walked before. I mean, it's just like a baby. If you never walked before, you're going to have to learn how to walk. So that was a miracle as well. Not only being strengthened to be able to walk, but be able to walk with the balance. Not only walk, but to leap. To catch yourself. That truly is amazing and a gift from God. Secondly, for the first time in his life, he was allowed to enter the house of God. He was allowed to go in and commune in the house of God in fellowship. He'd been crippled from birth, but now he was made completely whole, at least physically, by the power of Jesus Christ. And I, again, pray that he was made whole spiritually by the end of the day as well. Because again, I would say that's what this message is about. How not only this lame man was made whole, but how everyone who heard it and accepted the gospel was made whole in Christ. And it goes on to say in verses 9 and 10, and all the people were simply amazed as they saw the formerly lame man who had sat at the gate beautiful, asking for alms daily, now walking around the temple, praising God. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened to him. Now for the preaching part. That was the teaching part. For the preaching part. This is a picture to me of receiving the greatest gift of all. What is that greatest gift? Salvation. Made whole in Christ. In a real sense, we are the lame man that's sitting outside the temple. We were once broken and poor in spirit. We knew something was missing in our lives, and we were looking for satisfaction. And we were looking for satisfaction in all the wrong places, just like Mick Jagger sings, I can't get no satisfaction, because you have that God-shaped blank in your heart, and you're looking for drugs, sex, alcohol, relationships, or whatever it may be to fill that blank. And there's nothing that satisfies except God and having Him through Jesus Christ in a relationship with Jesus Christ. And we would lay helpless like that man on the mat and not even realize it, trying to convince ourselves, oh, we're okay. But our friends who could enter the house of God carried us to a church or to an acquaintance or to a fellowship on a spiritual stretcher and brought us to sit with them in church or in this fellowship. But you know what? Until we were saved, we were really no different from that lame man. We were just sitting outside the gate. Even though we may have been in the church building, we were still sitting outside the gate. Because the building means nothing. It's our spiritual relationship and belonging to the family of God that means everything. That's why we don't try to build temples here by having glorious buildings. But we focus on building up these temples in Christ. We came. We listened. But until we were born again, we were sitting outside. And all we were looking for was physical provisions to get by. The treasures and satisfaction of this world. Hopeless. Hopelessly lost and didn't even know it. But when we accepted the word of the gospel, we accepted Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. We are begotten by Christ into the family of God, and we enter into the house of God. The house of God in which we will live forever, as David says in Psalm 23. And you don't need a building built with hands to enter that house. Wherever you're at, you're in the house of God. Because remember, the word that we studied in Ephesians said that we are all the temple of the Lord, but together we're knit together as the building of God in which His Spirit dwells. We're that building. We're that temple. And we enter in and become a piece of that building in Christ, surrendering all to Him. Moreover, as I continue the narrative here on how I see this as a picture of us being saved, Peter declared, "In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." So it wasn't in Peter's name that the man was healed or by his authority that he was speaking. It was by the authority of Jesus Christ that he was speaking. And may no one deliver the word without being in the authority of Jesus Christ. Whether you're doing a home Bible study, or me preaching here from the pulpit, or you sharing the good news with someone. And how do we get there? By praying and being led and having Him open our mouth and Him speaking through us. Amen? So, as led by the Holy Spirit, Peter spoke in Christ's authority. Therefore, because of who Jesus is, the beggar would receive this miracle from the Son of God. And it was received by the same power that raised Him from the dead. The resurrection power of the Holy Spirit healed Him, just as the resurrection power heals us. And we are conformed to the image of Christ as we are transformed from the inside out, and we're changed on the outside, becoming Christ-like as He is formed in us. And what we are on the inside in Christ is then reflected and shown to the world. It's not about what we do. It's who we are in Christ. It's not what Peter did. It's who he was in Christ that mattered. He healed this broken man. And Jesus tells us, He says, greater works than these you will do. Not greater work than the salvation work of the cross, because only Christ could do that. But greater works that we would do, because as the family of God, we multiply Jesus. And Jesus goes on to say in John 14:14, to ask for anything in His name, and He will do it. But of course, we know the qualifier is that we do not use Jesus' name in vain. So therefore, we're going to ask the Father's will be done, not our own. And then as we're led, we do that, and He will empower us. He will lead us. He will enable us with the fruit of the Spirit and empower us with the gifts of the Spirit to do all that He has asked us to do. He will not set us up for failure. Thus, the power in the name of Jesus comes from the Holy Spirit, and what the Holy Spirit will do in the name of Jesus, because Jesus is telling Him to do it. He says, what the Holy Spirit says is what I have given Him. What the Holy Spirit does is what the Lord has led or told the Holy Spirit to do. When we are surrendered to Jesus, our Lord, we saw that the Holy Spirit comes through Jesus Christ. And that as we ask to do it, He will deliver. He never fails. So as we're led by the Lord, we're to have faith in Jesus to deliver on His promises, and He will provide as led. I also see what Peter did next as a picture of what we do. A picture of what we do in the fellowship of Christ as His church. Look at what Peter did. Let's just look at this for a minute. Peter helped the lame man up so he could walk in Christ. And that's what we do together as His body. Yes, we are ambassadors of Christ, and we all have the ministry of reconciliation. We're all to share the gospel. But to me, what Peter does here shows we are healed in the process of being lifted up. We're healed in the process of being discipled. How are we lifted up in Christ? But by one another. being discipled by one another. And this to me is a picture of that. Notice that the man didn't just jump up. Peter helped him up. And as he raised him up by Peter's faith, the legs and ankles of the man was strengthened. When we're raised up, once we come to Christ, how are we strengthened? But when we're raised up by the word and encouraged by one another, and we experience this life in Christ together, that's when we're truly healed. When we come to the unity of the faith and the knowledge of Jesus Christ, each and every little part of our life is healed. Why? Because we allow the Lord to root out the sin and the corruption and the rot and to take it away from us. Can we hang on to these things? Sure, God isn't going to override our free will. But what a waste of time then to call yourself a Christian if you're not going to be what He desires you to be. We're to be all we're to be in Christ. All He desires us to be. Look at the price He paid for us. God gave His Son for us. We're His priceless gift. Why would we try to, for lack of a better word, cheat God out of what He had sacrificed His Son for? Now, who are we really cheating? Ourselves. Not fully attaining all that He would want us to be. So, God does meet us where we are. But He doesn't want us to stay crippled by sin. He wants us to grow in the unity of the faith and, as I said, in the knowledge of His Son Jesus. And that's again what truly happens to us when we disciple one another and we're in the Word and the Holy Spirit disciples us one-on-one and then we share it with others. So Peter lifted him up in faith. And as I said, the man's feet and bones were immediately strengthened. So let's turn to Ephesians 4:11-16. I want to read Ephesians 4:11-16 because I believe, again, that this describes us as a fellowship. Ephesians 4:11-16 says, "And He Himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers, for the equipping of the saints, for the work of ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ." How long are we to continue in Christ? Until we're perfected in the love of Christ. To the full stature. To the perfect man. When's that going to happen? When we're taken home to be with Him. Until then, we continue to grow in the unity of the faith and in the knowledge of Jesus Christ. Verse 14. "That we should no longer be children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the trickery of men and the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting. But speaking the truth in love, may grow up in all things into Him who is the head, Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love." That's what the body of Christ is all about. For the edifying of the entire body, that every joint will do its part in growing in the love of Christ. Now here Peter healed one man. But he's doing it for the whole body of Christ. Not just for the people who are going to be saved that day, but for us today. And for all who will read this. Yes, I have my role as the pastor. But we're all in this together. Every joint and member needs to do its part. Amen. And what's your part? Jesus makes it very clear. Love the Lord your God, right? With all your heart, mind, strength, and soul. And love one another. As I have loved you, or love one another as you love yourself. Very simple. And that's agape love, not something that can come from the inside, but something that is poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit. All right, pressing on. Let's go ahead and read verses 11 through 21. Peter offers this precious gift to all who will hear. 11 through 21. Now as the lame man who was healed held on to Peter and John, all the people ran together to them in the porch, which is called Solomon's, greatly amazed. So when Peter saw it, he responded to the people, "Men of Israel, why do you marvel at this, or why look so intently at us, as though by our own power or godliness we had made this man walk? The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of our fathers, glorified his servant Jesus, whom you delivered up and denied in the presence of Pilate when he was determined to let him go. But you denied the Holy One and the Just, and asked for a murderer to be granted to you, and killed the Prince of Life, whom God raised from the dead, of which we are witnesses. And his name, through faith in his name, has made this man strong, whom you see and know. Yes, the faith which comes through him has given him this perfect soundness in the presence of you all. Yet now, brethren, I know that you did it in ignorance, as did also your rulers. But those things which God foretold by the mouth of all his prophets, that the Christ would suffer, he has thus fulfilled. Repent, therefore, and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, so that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord, and that he may send Jesus Christ, who was preached to you before, whom heaven must receive until the times of restoration of all things, which God has spoken by the mouth of all his holy prophets since the world began." So now, just as a short running commentary on this, Peter offers the precious gift to all who hears. Now, as the lame man who was healed held on to Peter and John, verse 11, and I don't think he's holding on because he needs to be strengthened, because it says he's leaping up and down. I think it's just from appreciation he's hanging on to Peter and John, just grateful for what had happened through them. And all the people rushed out in amazement to Solomon's colonnade and were staring intently at them. They're looking on at Peter, like, what's going on here? Peter saw his opportunity then and addressed the crowd in verse 12. "Men of Israel," he said, "what is so surprising about this? Why stare at us as though we made this man walk?" You know, well, he made this man walk by our own godliness. It's not by our own godliness. So what's Peter doing here? Immediately, Peter is giving glory to the one to whom deserves it, Jesus Christ. And he's pointing them to Jesus Christ. And he's going to speak and convict them of what they had done to Jesus. Just as we're convicted when someone shared the gospel with us and the Holy Spirit come alongside of us and convicted us of our sin. They were convicted by what he shares. Verse 13. "For it is the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of all our ancestors, essentially, who has brought glory to his servant Jesus by doing this." Now, when he said servant Jesus, I just want to take a moment and explain. This is actually a reference to Isaiah 52:13. And it says in Isaiah 52:13 that the Lord's servant, the Messiah, will be held higher than any man, but he's also going to be marred more than any man. And then, of course, right after that, it goes into Isaiah 53, which talks about how he was crucified, by his stripes we are healed, and so on and so forth. So he's bringing them to remember the scriptures, because these were all devout men who would know the scriptures. And so he ties it into what they would already know in their minds. Speaking of marred more, Peter goes on to say, "This is the same Jesus whom you handed over and rejected before Pilate. You rejected him when he was determined to let this innocent man go. You called for Barabbas to be released." I'm adding in here, I mean, because we know the history. "You called for Barabbas to be released, a murderer. Pilate wanted to let this innocent man go, but you refused to let him go." So essentially in verse 15, it says, "You killed the Prince of Life." That's another way of saying you killed the Creator himself. But God raised Jesus from the dead. And we are witnesses of this fact. Through faith in the name of Jesus, this man was healed. Verse 16. And you know how crippled he was before. Yes, faith that comes through him has healed him. Healed him before your very eyes. And we know ourselves through our own study that it's faith in Jesus that unleashes the resurrection power of the Holy Spirit in our lives. And he releases it to fulfill our calling and do the Father's will in our life each and every day. And we do it in the name of Jesus. We often pray, or better pray, every time we pray, in the name of Jesus. That's not to use it like a debit card to get what we want. It's speaking and praying in the authority of Jesus, by whom we come to God and ask, and in the power by which we will do it through His Holy Spirit. As again, the Holy Spirit will do as Christ desires. It's His Holy Spirit. Jehovah, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. The triune God. He goes on to say in verse 17, Brethren, I realize what you and your leaders did to Jesus was done in ignorance. But God was fulfilling what all the prophets had foretold about the Messiah. As it says in verse 18, that he must suffer these things. Now repent of your sins. Verse 19, be converted, turn to God, so that your sins may be blotted out. Blotted out, covered by the blood of Jesus Christ. The atoning blood of Jesus Christ, once and for all, not the temporary covering they were doing at Yom Kippur every year, and with the scapegoats being released, but a permanent covering. The blood of Jesus blots out all of our sin. So repent and be converted. Then times of refreshment will come. Times of joy will come, essentially is what he's saying. Joy from the presence of the Lord. And he will again send you Jesus, in verse 20, your appointed Messiah, or Jesus your Christ, which is Messiah, Christ is Messiah, for he must remain in heaven, verse 21, until the time for the final restoration of all things, as God promised long ago through his holy prophets. So, we looked at this in Colossians. We just covered this about how all things are going to have been reconciled through Christ, all both on earth as well as in heaven, but they're not going to be restored. Not all things are going to be restored until Christ returns. And then, during this millennial rule, his thousand-year rule, the earth will be back restored to as it was before the fall, because we will be as we were before the fall. We will be restored. Now, we looked at this in Colossians 1:19-20. And also Romans 8:21-22, where we studied about how creation groans for a time, and then it'll be set free in the liberty of the children of God. So if you guys want to do your own verse-by-verse study on that, again, it's Colossians 1:19-20 and Romans 8:21-22. We just went over that a couple weeks ago. We also know, however, that the moment we surrender and confess to Jesus Christ as our Lord, He comes in us. As John 14:15-18 says, if you love me, keep my commandments. And I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may abide with you forever, the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. I will not leave you orphans. I will come to you. So in this sense, Jesus comes to us spiritually and dwells in our hearts via His Holy Spirit. What an awesome God we have as He shares how they are to have the greatest gift of all. Now in communion, as we get ready for communion, I'm going to read verses 22-26 as it talks about the new covenant in Abraham's seed. And all the nations will be blessed through that seed. So as we prepare to dine with Christ at His table of grace, let's read the promise of the new covenant, first to the Jews, then to the Gentiles. Let's read verses 22 through 26, and then I'll give a short commentary, and then we'll pass out the implements. Verse 22, "For Moses said to the fathers, 'The Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like me from your brethren. Him you shall hear in all things, whatever he says to you. And it shall be that every soul who will not hear that prophet shall be utterly destroyed from among the people.' Yes, and all the prophets from Samuel and those who follow, as many as have spoken, have also foretold these days. You are sons of the prophets and of the covenant which God made with our fathers, saying to Abraham, 'And in your seed all the families of the earth shall be blessed.' To you first, God, having raised up his servant Jesus, sent him to bless you in turning away every one of you from your iniquities." How are they going to be blessed? By being turned away from their iniquities. So, short commentary. Moses said, "The Lord your God," verse 22, "will raise up a prophet like him," like Moses, "from among his own people," from the Jews. He's going to raise him up from the lion. He's the lion of the tribe of Judah. And he says, "Listen carefully to everything that this prophet tells you. Anyone who will not listen to this prophet," in verse 23, and this is talking about the Messiah, Jesus, "shall be utterly destroyed from among God's people." Starting with Samuel, verse 24, "Every prophet spoke about what is happening today," is what Peter's saying. "You are the children of those prophets," verse 25. "You are included in the covenant. God promised to your ancestors, for God said to Abraham, 'Through your seed,'" the seed, one seed, not seeds, one seed, as Paul delineates later, "the Messiah. Through your seed, the Messiah, the new covenant in his blood is given, and all nations on earth will be blessed, as all of God's children are begotten through him and by him. And we are the children of promise spoken of in Abraham, in the Abrahamic covenant." There's three major covenants. We have the Abrahamic covenant, we have the Davidic covenant, and we have, of course, the new covenant, all of which spoke about the Messiah coming on that day that he did as he was entering in to Jerusalem to declare himself king. "When God raised up his servant Jesus, he sent him first to you, the people of Israel, to bless you by turning each of you back from your sinful ways." So let's go ahead and pass out the implements as I go ahead and just set the tone for our communion tonight. We know that when Jesus wept over Jerusalem, that the rejection of him as Messiah by the Jews, by Israel, brought forth the prophecy of Lo Ami, "You are not my people." And they are blinded in part by the hardness of their hearts until the fullness of the Gentiles come in, as it says in Romans 11:25. But Paul warns us not to boast, as if the Lord would cut off those that are from the natural tree, that he would certainly cut off those who were grafted in. So may we not hold ourselves high or think lowly of the Jews. Because he said in part, first of all the Jews, all of Israel will be saved. All the tribes of Israel will be saved one day. And that's the great tribulation is for the salvation of the Jewish nation. But there are those who are meant to come in as Messianic Jews. So I say all that to say this. As Peter was talking to the Jews first, may we rejoice that he included us, both Jew and Gentile, in the family of God. And let us spiritually wash our hands during this next song and contemplate all that God has done for us in Christ. And as we search our heart, may we lift up anything that is not of God and raise it up to him in the name of Jesus and ask him to take it away from us. Because in that manner, we will ensure we're not going to partake in an unworthy way of this wonderful, sacred communion. dining with Christ as His family, with Him as the head and us as the body. And as I often say at communion, we know that this isn't magical. We know the cracker doesn't turn into His flesh and the blood. You know, the grape juice we drink isn't His blood. It's not merely a memorial where it's a funeral. And we're just remembering what Jesus did. It's truly mystical. It's truly drawing near to God, the remembering what He did through Jesus Christ, just as Jesus told us to do. James says, draw near to God and He will draw near to you. And Jesus knew we needed to do this often, or we would forget. We would forget about Him and make it all about ourselves. So, during this next song, a song that is our own communion song, it was written by our folks here in the church as we, and I just share that because that's praise and glory and boasting in the Lord. May we just search our hearts and lift up anything that's not of Him and meditate and just give praise and glory to Him as well. So, as the worship team comes up, and then we'll get together after this song and we'll take communion together. And if anybody wants me to pray with them or for them, I'll be here in the back of the room. As we look at the bread, the matzah, the unleavened bread, we know at Passover they also have the Feast of Unleavened Bread. And this represents Christ and His body being broken for us. That's why we break the bread. And the bigger piece of the cracker, you see how it's striped, because by His stripes we are healed. It's got holes because we are pierced. He was pierced, I should say, for our iniquities. By all these things that He did for us. His body being broken for us. Being scourged. Beaten beyond recognition. We are healed. The anger of God being taken out on His beloved so He wouldn't take it out on us. Let's take the bread in remembrance of what He's done for us with His body. He also took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." We read in Colossians this last Sunday, as we referred to today, that all things were reconciled through Christ and made peace with God through His blood on the cross. His blood that blots out our sin. His blood that continually cleanses us. We have been given His imputed righteousness. We stand before God in right standing because of who Jesus is, not anything that we have done. But in the righteousness of Christ, we stand. And in His imparted righteousness, we practice what He desires us to do. Not to earn salvation, but because we always have it. In Him. We already have it. So as we take this cup, we know that as we eat this bread and we take this cup, that we're proclaiming His death until He comes again. Proclaiming His death, that He died for you and me personally. And that by taking this cup, that we proclaim that we deny ourselves, pick up our cross, and follow Jesus. That's what we're doing here. That's what we're celebrating. Let's take the cup in the name of Jesus. May we continue to pray for Israel. Pray that they will have not shalom, but irene, peace. Peace purchased entirely at Christ's expense. So those who are known in part will come to Jesus and won't have to go through the great tribulation. And may we also pray that as we take family, you know, gather with family tomorrow, that He'll give us the words to say to share the good news of Jesus Christ with anyone who may not know Him, or to disciple those who do. May we also pray that from this point forward in our lives, that we will open our mouths and He will speak through us and share the good news of Jesus Christ, but more importantly, may our actions speak louder than our words. That's my prayer tonight. Dear Heavenly Father, we praise You. We come before You as Your children. In the name of Jesus, thank You. Thank You for loving us. Thank You for giving Your Son for us. May we truly get over ourselves and live for Him who died for us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. With that I say, go forth and do well in His will by faith, in love, and by His power. Amen.